Bring you a message that's on my heart just for a very short few minutes. We're really glad to have all of our visitors with us this morning. If this is your first time, we do have some that are first time here. We're glad that you're here or wherever you come from. Mr. and Mrs. Pinkerton, raise your hand there, sir. And we're glad to have them this morning. They just met them on bus route and invited them. They're here this morning. Thank y'all for coming. We're glad they're here. And he has a special prayer request for health reasons that we'd like for him, to pray for him for. Let's look at Psalm 19 this morning and look at a word I want to talk about, verse 7. And the word is, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Remember that word. That's what I'm talking about, sure. Making wise the simple. I'm going to preach this morning on the subject, some things you can be sure of. Some things you can be sure of. We are living in a day when they tell us that you can't really be sure of anything. Matter of fact, they say somebody who believes that there's a creator is called a deist. Somebody who don't believe there's a God at all is called an atheist. There is no God. There's two extremes. Somebody in the middle is called agnostic. Agnostic means maybe it's true, maybe it's not true. We don't know for sure. The word agnostic means without knowledge. That means nobody can really know for sure. As a matter of fact, the basis of our educational system today is that you can't really know anything for sure. So you pay $80,000 to be taught that you really can't know nothing. That's awful to say. But that's the truth in a day that we live in. We can't really be sure of anything. So as Professor got up one time and he said, now boys and girls, you just think you're this. You just think that you can't really be sure of anything. And a student raised their hand and said, are you sure of that? You see, that's the trouble you get into when a person says they are agnostic. It means we can't know anything for sure. But I'm glad to say this morning that we as Christians can know some things for sure. And I want to give you three of them. We'll be really quick this morning. We've got a lot to do and we're excited about it. I want to say first of all this morning, you can be sure of the Scriptures. You can be sure of the Scripture. Now, we're living in a time when you can't be sure of a lot of books you read. I fly and I go into airports, and in airports there's just room after room after room of books. The bestseller list and the worst seller list and books and novels and romance and news items and newspapers, and you can't be sure of any of those things. But I'm going to tell you this morning, you can be sure of the Scripture. You can lay your Bible down and be sure that it's right and that it is the Word of God. He said, thy testimonies are sure. Jesus said in Mark 13, verse 34, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word, the Lord said, shall never pass away. Listen, I can give you stuff all day long. All right, a man asked me the other day. He said, Danny, he said, I want to ask you something. He said, God made something on the first day, and God made something on the second day, and God made something on the third day. And he said, I need to ask you a question. I said, go ahead. You know, in most places, they teach that those days were really not days. They teach that the first day could have been millions of years. The second day could have been millions of years. The third day could have, and nobody knows for sure. I want to tell you something. You can be sure of your Bible. And if your Bible says a day, it means a day. You say, well, how do you know it means a literal day like we have now? Because he said the evening and the morning were the first day. I'll tell you something else. The man asked me this question. He said, why did God make plants? He made plants. He made trees, flowers, all that vegetation out in the world, strawberry, blackberry, raspberries, blueberries, banana trees, orange trees, apple trees, grapes, all these trees. He made them on the third day. And he did not make the sun or the moon until the fourth day. Now, there's a reason for that.
People say, well, see there, that's unbelievable. He made all of them on the third day and didn't make the sun till the fourth. You know why God does stuff like that? To show you that the Bible's true. You see, if He made them on Tuesday, they could make it to Wednesday morning without sunlight. But plants can't survive a million years without sunlight. It can't happen. And so there's the way you know. That's just one of thousands of ways you know. God puts stuff like that in the Bible so you can be sure of what it said. I'm telling you, you say, but scientists say, yeah, I know, scientists say a lot of things. There was a day when every scientist in the world believed that the earth was flat. And the Bible said that the earth was round even before scientists ever knew it. It is He that sits on the circle of the earth. The Bible never has taught that the earth was flat. As a matter of fact, in the Bible, before scientists ever believed it, Jesus said there would be two men working in the field. One would be taken and the other left. He said two people were asleep in the bed and one would be taken and the other left. So the Bible teaches that it can be daylight somewhere and dark somewhere at the same time. Scientists didn't believe that until just a few hundred years ago. You know what the moral of the story is? When that book says it, you can take it to the bank. That's not just a book on religion. It's a book on science. It's a book on education. It's a book on religion. It's a book on raising children. It's a book on marriage counseling. It is the book. It is God's book. You can be sure of the Scripture. And when all other books are done, gone in the graveyard, it's seen the birth of all the books in the world. It'll see the grave of all the rest of them. Ladies and gentlemen, it's God's book. When you think about prophecy, how the Bible, the way you know the Bible is true, is its ability to predict the future. The other religious books don't do that. The Koran don't do that. The dead Book of Mormon don't do that. The other books of other religions don't predict the future and get it right every single time. You know what the Lord said? He said you're going to know you're in the last days by there'll be a sudden dramatic increase in earthquakes. Do you realize that between 1900 and 1950 there were three major earthquakes every 10 years recorded? Three major earthquakes every 10 years between 1900 and 1950. Israel became a nation in 1948. They had been scattered abroad for hundreds of thousands of years, and they come back together, and the Lord in the Bible calls Israel the fig tree nation. And He said, when the fig tree puts forth its leaves and buds, you know that that generation is the last one. So in 1948, Israel budded and put forth its leaves. Guess what? The earthquakes picked up just like the Bible said that it would 2,000 years ago. Between 1946 and 1956, there were seven major earthquakes. Between 1956 and 1966, there were 17 major earthquakes. There used to be only three every 10 years. Between 1966, hippies, the Beatles, dope, 1969, foot on the moon, rock concert, AIDS, everything began to happen from 69 to 79. There were 180 major earthquakes in the earth. So the Lord said, as you see that time close, you'll know it's there by earthquakes. The earth is going to shake. Now we have them every few hours somewhere in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, you can be sure of the Scripture. The Bible said back there in the Old Testament that those priests were to wash their hands in running water. And nobody knew. Why? They didn't know about germs and stuff back then. But the Lord told them, wash your hands in running water. Take those germs off. They used to think that your blood carried diseases, and that if you drained your blood out, that's how they killed a lot of people. They drained their blood out trying to bleed them free of a disease. Now the Bible said the opposite. The Bible said the life of the flesh is in the blood. And it told you to run in water to get rid of germs. So, I can talk all day about that, and I love it. It's one of my favorite subjects. But I guarantee you one thing, brother. You can be sure of the Scripture. In these days of political unrest, in these days when it seems like the very foundations of our society are being shaken right out from under us, in this day when it seems like everything we've always believed is being took right out from under us, I'm so glad and thankful that we still got a book that we can open up and know that it's right. And brother, it'll be there from now on. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Heard a man say one time, this don't sound right, but you'll get the point. He said, I'd rather be in the Word of God than be in heaven. And somebody said, oh my goodness, you shouldn't say something like that. He said, I'd rather be in the Word of God than be in heaven. And they said, why do you say that? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall never pass away. And he was referring to the first heaven and second heaven. And I'm going to say this morning, you can be sure of the Scripture. You know, the Lord gave two major signs in the Bible. Here's how you know it's true. Two major signs in the Bible of His second coming. The days of Noah and the days of Lot. You've heard a lot about it in the last few weeks. I'm a tolerant person. I love everybody. I don't hate nobody. You've got a right to do whatever you want to. But I'm going to tell you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, the days of Lot and the days of Sodom are the two signs that Jesus gave. He said they'll be eating and drinking, marrying and giving marriage. Marriage vows don't mean nothing. I throw them out the window. It doesn't matter about morality. And the days of Lot. The days of Lot was characterized by same-sex marriage. And he said, when you see them things happening again with government approval and with a stamp of approval of a nation, you know, listen, you say, well, I'm just so shocked by all this stuff. I'd be shocked if it wasn't happening. The Lord said it would happen. It is happening. It will happen. And there ain't going to be no straightening out down here. The way out of this mess is that away, brother. Right out of here. The Lord coming back. I tell you, I wish He'd come back today and take us out of here. You say, don't talk like that, preacher. I'm not ready. Get ready. You've got all weekend. You ain't ready. Some of y'all didn't go to camp. You missed it. You better get ready. You better get ready. I hope He comes while all these are still ready. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, you can be sure of the Scriptures. Number two. I want to say this quickly this morning. You can be sure of sin. You can be sure of sin. The Bible said in Numbers 32:23, be sure. Be sure. Just like I gave you that verse about being sure of the Scriptures, the Bible said, everybody listen, all you teenagers listen, all mamas and daddies listen, be sure your sin will find you out. You say, that's Old Testament. I understand that. Galatians 5:7 ain't Old Testament. It said, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He said, soweth to his flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it does make a difference how we live. When we sin, it'll find you out. It will come back to get you. Your chickens do come home to roost. There's a payday someday. There's a payday waiting out there. And somebody said, ever hurt and pain and every problem we have in old age is something coming back that we done when we was young. Be sure your sin will find you out. You can get out here and get drunk and smoke pot and take pills and party and sleep it off and think nothing bad's going to happen, but you just ain't been around long enough. Check back with you down the road somewhere. It always comes back. Sin always comes back. Thank God there's forgiveness of sin. Thank God the blood of Jesus washes our sins away. But on this flesh, you will reap what you sow in this flesh. You'll reap it in your conscience. I heard about this guy. He escaped from a mental ward. And the man had completely lost his mind. And he escaped. And they went out looking for him. Couldn't find him. And he went way up on this hill. And he's over this old abandoned mine shaft. And it's an empty hole. And that guy was standing over looking over. And he's saying, down he goes. Down he goes. Down he goes. And about 20 years before that man had killed somebody. and he killed a man and dropped that body down in that shaft. And it got so bad after that he lost his mind. And he said he lost his mind and he had to be put in a mental ward, and he escaped and went right back to that thing and said, down he goes. Down he goes. You know what? Sin will get you in your conscience. If you went out and done something last night or the night before, you may think you're real smart and cool. You got it all figured out and nothing can happen to you. But right now, you're thinking about it. And right now, that conscience is eating at you. And right now, you know, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done it. That's the first way you can be sure about sin in your conscience. And I'm going to tell you something else. You can be sure about sin coming to get you in your body. It'll get your body. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. It's very evident. Visit the jails. Visit the hospitals. See the young men in wheelchairs around this country where they were partying and drinking and driving. See the, go to the drug rehabs and see the kids sitting in there that don't even know their name. They can't even give them a bed sheet. They'll try to eat it. They'll try to hang themselves with it. See the effects of sin. See the effects of sin on it. We have kids here this morning. I think they're back there in the junior church where that little child was run over the other day. One of our kids was hit by that car. He's back yonder in the junior church right now. Got bruises all over his body. And this old world is such a bad, 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 terrible place that our bodies have to suffer because of sin. Let me give you something, young people. I know every time you turn on TV, every show you see, somebody's got wine in their hand, in the glass. Or somebody's got alcohol. Or they're saying, pour me a drink. Pour me a drink. Pour me a drink. Let me give you just a little statistic this morning. Facts. In 1997, I'm going to tell you something, brother. You listen to me this morning. This was a long time ago. Back in the late 90s. In 1997, 16,189 people were killed in automobile wrecks involving alcohol in the United States. An average of one every 32 minutes. These deaths constituted 38% of all traffic fatalities. Every 32 minutes, that means while we've been here, there's already been two people killed on our highway because of alcohol. 1,058,990 people were injured in alcohol-related crashes, an average of one person approximately every 30 seconds. Do you think sin don't haunt us? Do you think we're not seeing the results of sin? Every weekday from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., one out of every 13 drivers you meet on the highway are intoxicated with a blood alcohol level count of 0.08 or more. Between 1 a.m. and 6 a.m., one in seven drivers you meet on the highway are intoxicated. Three out of every five Americans, that's a lot of people in here today, will be involved in an alcohol-related crash at some times in their life. Now, this for all of you that see it on TV and have it on all the commercials, and you got beer in the refrigerator, you got wine in your box at home, and you think, oh, it's just fine, I can handle it. This is for you. I'm going to tell you something this morning. You better listen to me. You're fooling with a rattlesnake. You're fooling with something that'll get you. It may take years. It took years for it to get to my daddy. He took a little sip every night, a little sip every night, a little sip. Next thing you know, it's two sips. Next thing you know, it's three sips. Next thing you know, it's four sips. You say, not me, preacher. Them's famous last words. Are you listening? The economic costs of alcohol-related crashes are estimated to be $45 billion a year in this nation. In 1997, there were two alcohol-related traffic deaths every hour, 45 a day, 315 a week. That's two jet airliners crashing and killing everybody on it because of alcohol. Amen? Hey, and some of you in here are made fun of by Christians who laugh at us because we're teetotalers. I tell you one thing, I'd rather be too far overboard that way than I had to be to play with something that could ruin my life and then mess my kids' lives up. Let them laugh! Let them make fun of us. It's a devil in liquid form. If two airliners crashed this week and next week and the next week and killed everybody on them, it'd be all. If one does, it's all on the news for a week. We got two every week because of alcohol. And they won't say a word about it. You know what aggravates the fire out of me? Anti-smoking commercials. And I'm anti-smoking. I don't think nobody will smoke. I think cigarettes are bad for you. I think they're bad for your health, bad for your testimony, they're bad all the way around. I think you shouldn't smoke for your health reasons and for money reasons. But cigarettes couldn't hold a lot to what alcohol has done to this country. They'll have one guy on there that had a chance from cigarettes and say, just stop today. Why don't they put some in a wheelchair and say, this is what drinking will do to you. Amen? I'll tell you why. Because the big shots and the government gets the money from the alcohol and the farmers get the money from the tobacco and they don't want it to change. Or they don't want that to happen. They don't want to lose that money. I ain't done yet. A driver with a blood alcohol level of 1.5 is more than 300 times more likely to wreck their car than somebody who's sober. 300 times more. In the past decade, four times as many Americans died with drunk driving crashes as were killed in the Vietnam War. Where's the government? Where's the condemnation? I tell you, it's killing people by the millions. And we think, oh, you know why we do that? Because we like a little bit every now and then. When I say we, I don't mean me. I'm telling you tonight, lady, or this morning, ladies and gentlemen, you can be sure of sin. Ted Bundy. We're talking about, tell you something else, doing more damage than alcohol. It's computer, TV, cell phone, pornography. Amen? You talk about sin, you think you can just look at something and it won't hurt you? Listen, these men sitting on death row in our prisons all over this country that looked at it and looked at it and looked at it, you can't fool with that stuff. Are you listening to me? You can't fool with that stuff! Church people! Oh, yeah, I say, well, I just want to see what's going on. Tick, 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 tick. There's a demonic spirit that'll get in you, and it got in Ted Bundy, and got in John Casey, and they raped little kids and buried them under the house because they got full of the devil looking at something you ain't got no business looking at. Amen. Be sure. I'm going to tell you something right now. Be sure. You'll pay for that. You'll pay for it. Best thing you could do is come to this altar and say, God, forgive me for everything I've looked at I shouldn't look at, and don't do it no more, and pray the mercy of God on you. Listen, you get a disease, you say, how can I get a disease? There's a lot of diseases you can get. It always comes back, even if you don't touch nobody. Amen? They're in prison for murder. Because of what it's very evident. Go to the hospitals, go to the jails, go to the rehab. You can be sure of sin. Number three, and I'm done this morning. You can be sure of salvation. I said, number one, you can be sure of the Scriptures, you can be sure of sin, and you can be sure of salvation. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. That Bible talks about it. He said, you can be sure. Make his calling and election sure. You can be sure. You may not be sure of your house. You may not be sure of your land. They may be coming to repossess your car tomorrow. But thank God, I'll tell you one thing you can know. You can say, I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. And God's forgiven me and my sins are gone. Amen. You say, Lord, preacher, I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep my... Well, I got one fellow, they said, they took this old redneck country boy into this big old Catholic cathedral one time. And they took him in there and he said, now you see that statue right there? That goes back to Pope Louis on the 14th. And he said, saw another statue, and he said, you see that statue right there? That goes back to St. Andrew on the 15th. And that old boy looked up and he said, that ain't nothing. My living room suit goes back to Sears on the 12th. You know, a lot of stuff like that we can't be sure of. I know people that's lost their job and worked hard all their life, and then bam, your job. Hey, there ain't nobody in here knows you got a job tomorrow morning. You say, I know I didn't. No, you don't. Buddy, in this day and time, this economy, there ain't nobody in here to be sure of your health. There's not a person in here right now that can even know for sure you're going to be alive in 30 minutes. I may fall over right here. We don't know. Everything's so unsure. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm sure I'm safe. I'm sure. You say, Brother Danny, how are you sure? I'll tell you how, and I'm done. I know when it happened. I know where it happened. And I know how it happened. I know, Brother Isaac, I know when it happened. It was in Nebo Baptist Church. I was 18 years old. I went up there one night that was having revival. And long story short, I ain't got time to give my testimony. But I stood back there and my heart was going boom, boom, boom. My cousin turned around and said, let's go get saved. I said, I ain't ready to get saved. There was people up singing. People was going to the altar. They was repenting. It wasn't rock music. It wasn't a bunch of people swaying and some of the smoke coming up out of the altar and a bunch of stupid stuff like that trying to appeal to young people. It was old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction with a man of God standing up there. There's a difference. There's a difference in this contemporary junk and that old-time stuff like we have. But I'm telling you, my heart is about to come out. I stepped out of that seat. I hit that altar. I bawled my eyes out. I know when it happened. I got up about 30 or 45 minutes later. People was hugging my neck. Somebody said, Danny, I'm proud of you. You're going to be a preacher. I ain't been saved 10 minutes. I said, you're crazy. That's a dumb. I ain't no preacher. The last thing that ever crossed my mind was to be a preacher. I never dreamed of being a preacher. But I knew God done something for me. And I went home. I know how it happened. I know when it happened. I know where it happened. I'm telling you, brother, I went home that night, laid down on the bed, and something said, feels better, don't it? I said, it sure does. I said, praise God. For the first time in my life, I thought if I died tonight, I know I'd go to heaven. Amen. You can be sure of that. You say, now, preacher, I've wondered all my life if I'm really going to heaven or not. Tell me how you can be sure. I'm going to tell you right quick how you can be sure, and we're going to go. We're going to go get us something to eat. All right? Here's how you can be sure. You know how I know I'm going to heaven? Because I've already got my faith settled in them Scriptures. Remember I said you can be sure of the Scriptures? The Scriptures say that if I put my faith in what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross, I am guaranteed heaven and I'm in. And that's what I've done. You know why you're not sure? Because you're trying to think, well, I'm not good enough and I hadn't lived good enough and I messed up the other day and I done this wrong and maybe I wouldn't go to heaven. As long as you're dependent on your performance and your work and your effort, you never will be sure. Matter of fact, you're doubt all the time because you won't never know if you've been good enough. But I'm telling you, I'm not dependent on what I've done. I'm dependent on what He did for me. He paid the price for it. That's solid. That's sure. That can't change. That's why John said, we know that we have passed from death unto life. That's why Peter said, we know that we have a reservation in heaven reserved for us. That's why he said in John chapter 6, if he that believeth on Him hath everlasting life. We're not waiting to get eternal life. We've got it right now. And you can know that today. You say, how can I know? You'll trust 100% in what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. That's how you know. That's it. You don't go to heaven because you're a Baptist. Lord, they Baptists crooked as a dog's hind leg. Amen. I mean, I've met Baptists, Lord, if they fell in a barrel of fish hooks, they wouldn't get stuck all the way to the bottom. Jimmy Carter's a Baptist. Hillary is a Baptist. Used to be. At least she ain't a Muslim. Listen, brother. Listen. We're in trouble because people don't know they're saved. I'm going to tell you, I put my faith... Watch this. I put my faith in this pulpit. See? I got all my weight on this thing. There's a foot. There's another foot. And I can swing around. I'm putting all my... If I didn't think this would hold me up, I would not do this. Would you do this in front of all these people? Look. I trust this thing. It's made out of solid cherry. Brother, it's expensive wood. This thing will hold me up. It'll hold me up. I guarantee it. It'll hold me up. Thank God it'll hold me up. And that's what I've done with my soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. I lean on Him. I depend on Him. And if I had to die right now, I'd say, Lord, nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. You can be sure of salvation. I heard a story one time, and I'll tell you this and I'm through. Said a man fell off of a dream. He dreamed that he fell off this big old cliff. and he's falling, and he grabbed a hold of this like a vine, like a grapevine, and he's stuck like that, and he's hanging his like 1,000 feet below him, 1,000 feet up, and he's just barely hanging there for dear life. He thought, oh no, what am I going to do? And he said, God save me, God save me. He said, about that time, a big old angel come floating down, stopped right there in midair. He had big strong arms and muscle, and the angel said, need some help? He said, save me, please, will you save me? And the angel said, I will if you'll trust me. He said, okay, I trust you. Save me! And the angel said, all right. Do you believe I can save you? He said, sure you do. I mean, you're floating in midair. Big, strong arms. Yeah, you can do it. You can do it. Save me. And the angel said, do you believe I will save you? It's not enough to believe I can. Do you believe I will? He said, well, he come when I asked him to. I hollered and he came down here. Yes, I believe you will. And he said, I will if you'll trust me. Okay, I trust you. Save me. And he said, let go of that vine. Now, you know what most people say? They'd say, I tell you what, you grab me and then I'll let go. Ain't that right? You don't trust him. You trust me? Yeah, I trust you. Okay, let go of it. Why don't you grab me first? You don't trust him. And that's what salvation is. You let go. Quit hanging on to being your works and your what you did when you was a little kid. And just say, Lord, if you don't save me, I'm done. I'm gone. And the arms of Jesus, and then you'll know you're saved. Some things you can be sure of. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Every head bowed. Every eyes closed. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning, are you sure? Are you sure of the Scriptures? Are you sure about sin?